Am I on? I am on. Hello out there. I'm electric. Good word, Annie. Such a good word. Okay.
If I could have your attention, please.
Look at these men. Blah, 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 blah. And I thought it was always the women. What? Oh, see, they heard me. Now they're all... So I'm going to wait on you guys, and I'll tell you why. Because... I don't want to miss the thing that God is saying this morning, right? Okay. We are such a friendly house, aren't we? It's a good thing. I love it when we all get together and we can love on each other. Is my phone a problem? No, okay. I want to pray because I need prayer. So, Lord, today I ask that I don't say one word that is not from your mouth to mine. I pray for your revelation, your anointing. Thank you that you're here. Thank you that you're with us, that you're with me. And Lord, I just submit myself to you and ask that you open your word to us in every way that you want to, that we be encouraged, that we be inspired, and that we be changed forever. Don't let us leave here today without doing the work within us that you want to do. In Jesus' name. So, don't you love how you get to share on what God's doing in your life? So the last time I got to be with you guys, I talked about love. This time I'm going to talk about faith, because that's what God wants to talk about today. And if we've ever been in a season, okay, I'm going to speak for myself, if I've ever been in a season in my life where I needed faith, it's this one. More than ever. More than ever. So, the first scripture I want to point us to, and I'm going to be reading out of the King James today. And the reason I am is because it is my word study Greek and Hebrew, and I want to be able to look some things up. So, Habakkuk, chapter 2, verse 4. Let me give you a little back story. God was raising up the Chaldeans, actually, to bring them against Israel. And the reason was Israel had wandered far away from God. And because of that, God, I think we read these old stories and we think God just wants to punish. And no, he wants to grab our hearts and bring us back. I heard a prophet recently say that the church is living in the blurred lines. And I think we are. Many of us are. Actually, I think we all are in some places in our lives. And God wants to bring us back into focus with his word. The first thing I want to share with you is the supremacy of this word. There is no other book on the planet, nor has there ever been, nor will there ever be, a book like this book. Nowhere. Nothing ever will come even close to it. We should have our little peepers and our ears and our hearts in this book every day of our life. I'm going to challenge you now. If you ever needed to be in the Word, it's now. I'm going to speak to you prophetically today, as well as lovingly, and you know, as you guys are all my buddies here, and I love you, but I need to share with you this word because God is preparing us for what is coming. He's preparing us for our tomorrow. Right? So this book is prophetic in every way. Every word is prophetic. Did you know that? Every word. This word was given to men through the Holy Spirit, and then men recorded it. And it was written for who? For us, for all time, right? So that we would know the mind and heart of God. It's a love story. Really, it's a love story. From beginning to end. It's about God's love for us and how to remain in that love, how to live in that love, how to function in that love, and how to share that love. How to impact our planet through His love. How to impact each other through His love. So this book is a love story. Look at your neighbor and say, this is a love story. This Bible. You know what? When I was young in the Lord, I used to lay down and I'd just soak in the Holy Ghost and I would just put this on my heart and really weep with thankfulness that I have this word. I'm so in love with it. What? You're in love with the word? Oh, yeah. You can find out. Wow. Okay. So, the scripture I want to begin with that I'm just going to put out there for you to kind of ponder as we go along. Habakkuk 2:4. Habakkuk was sitting on his watch, and he has been saying to God, why? Why is this happening? And this is what the Lord says to him. I'll start at 2:1. Habakkuk says, I will stand upon my watch and set me upon the tower, and I will watch to see what he will say to me, what God will say to me, and what I shall answer when I am reproved. So he expects God to get after him, right? And the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain upon tables that he may run that readeth it. In other words, make it plain so that those who read it can walk in it, can go with it, can carry it within them, not just in their hands. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it shall speak and not lie, though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. Behold, his soul, which is lifted up, is not upright within him. And here he's talking about the Chaldeans. But the just shall live by his faith. That's the part I want you to grab hold of. The just shall live by his faith. Let's go to John 1:1. While you're turning there, I want you to know that not all churches believe that this book is the truth. Not all churches in our country believe that it's even the Word of God. They don't believe that it's infallible. Does that shock you? No, it's not shocking, is it? But this is, every word of this book is the truth. It is the truth. Every word is true. Every word can be lived by. In fact, you can open this book anywhere and find yourself on any page in this book. Right? Yeah. So John 1:1. If you can't keep up with me, it's okay. I'm going to go back here a minute. John 1:1. I already know it, but I'm going to look it up anyway. John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. I want you to go down to John 1:14. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. In the beginning was the Word. Where was the Word? In Genesis 1:1. We knew the Spirit was hovering above the waters, right? The Father was there. Where was the Word? In the mouth of God. Alive. It was alive. It was creating. That Word, Jesus, was in the beginning. The Word. The Word was alive and became flesh. The Word was a living Word. There's the Logos, there's the Rhema, the written Word, the spoken Word. They're actually both the spoken Word, but the Logos people refer to as being the written Word. So, in the beginning was Jesus. He was the truth. He was the light, right? So let's go to 1 Corinthians 2:16. I'm going to give you a lot of the Word today because we need it. First Corinthians 2:16 says, "For who hath known the mind of the Lord?" Who hath known the mind of the Lord? Jesus Christ. Right? He was the only one who knew the mind of the Lord. But who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? It's Jesus. But you and I now have the mind of Christ. We have the mind of Christ. We hold it in our hands every time we pick this book up. This is his mind. That's why this book is supreme above every other book that ever was or ever will be. Because it's his mind to us, his thoughts, his heart, his plan, his purpose, his everything is in this book. We have it in our hands, but we also have it in our hearts. It lives in our hearts. The Lord designed it that it would live in our hearts and then live through our hearts. So it would live in us and then live through us to this world. Now, we've already said that every word in this book is prophetic. Profoundly prophetic. And every word has to do with the past, the present, and the future. Well, how does it have to do with the past today? Well, that's where we learn who we are. And that past comes into our present. It actually explodes onto our present. Every word of this that we read comes into the present. So it's past, present, and then it teaches us how to live in the future. Go to Revelations 19:10. If you didn't know it, I'm trying to establish something about this word with you. So it gets down in you. Because the deal is, many of us are living in the blurred lines because we aren't living through this word. And when I say us, I'm talking about the church around the world, okay? Because they are part of us. We are an us, right? It's not our church and their church. It's us. Many of us are living in the blurred lines because we still are living in Babylon and we haven't been transformed in our minds and our hearts by this word. Because this word is transformative. It will change our lives. it will, look at your neighbor and say, the word will change my life. It will change our lives. But you've got to get it before your peepers. You've got to get it in the eye gate and let it get down into your heart. So Revelation 19:10 says that the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. What does that mean? This is his testimony, isn't it? You now have the mind of Christ? Here's the testimony. All prophetic. In fact, his spirit is all over this book. Hold up your book. If you have your Bible, hold it up and just put it against your heart. This is got to become our love language. It's got to become the center of all that we are, all that we do, all that we will ever be. All that we hope for, all that we want. My prayer is for the church at large. There's a remnant. There's definitely a remnant of people that do live by this book, that live in the church. But then there's the outer fringes who don't know. They don't know. They don't understand. They don't realize. They're living life for themselves. They're chasing after Babylon and the things of Babylon instead of focusing. We need to take our peepers right into here. Keeping our eyes in this word daily before us, putting it on like a garment, wearing it every day, living in it. When I get mad at my neighbor and I'm like, I don't want to talk. You know what? I've known Christians who haven't talked to their neighbor in years. But what did Jesus say? If we're living by this word, what did Jesus say? Love your neighbor as yourself? Would you love yourself like that? Probably not. How about if you have a problem with your brother, Jody, finish that for us. If you have a problem with your brother, then, and make it right. What about if your brother has a problem with you? Go to him and make it right. There's two scriptures there. If you have a problem with your brother, if your brother has a problem with you, oh, they meet together. Same solution. Go to him and make it right. Instead of sitting on one side of the church and then the other side of the church. Now, I know nobody here does that. But, no. But I'm just saying, right? We don't want to live like that. Because we need to be coming into unity to be able to do and be all that we're to be. John 14:6. Follow me over there. You know, God has a lot of good things to say here this morning. I like two hands because I'm using my phone this morning, but if you guys are okay, I'm okay. Okay. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, every word of this is truth, and the life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto me, unto the Father, but by me. So what I'm trying to establish with you today, for those of you who need refreshing, like I myself did when I was preparing this, and for those of you who may have forgotten. For those of us who are living in the blurred lines, this is the only truth. This is the truth. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth. It's not whose truth. You know, there's a lot of people out there who say, I have the truth. McDonald's has breakfast sandwiches. That's the truth. Right? But it's not the truth. Every time you and I speak the word of God, we are operating in the spirit of prophecy. Every time. Every time. Every time. When you pick up this word and you read it out loud, I want to encourage you, when you're in a battle, walk around your house and speak this word. Because it's anointed of Christ. It's alive. It's truth. It breaks down. It's prophetic. The prophetic breaks down what the enemy wants to do. So when you're walking around your house speaking this word, realize that it's Christ in you, the truth, coming out of you, anointed, demolishing the devil's kingdom. Tom and I used to tell teenagers, you know what, we're going to kick devil butt. They're still out there doing it. I love it. Some of them are right here in this house. And they have taken their lives and they have purposed themselves in this word. We are speaking the mind of Christ, the living word, every time we speak this word. You know what? I hope today you reach out and grab what I'm saying. It will change your life if you do. Very simple. Nothing I'm sharing is profound or, you know, it's very simple. I was a kindergarten teacher. It must be simple. So that every person can understand it. Okay, so do you think we've established this, the supremacy of this book, that it is prophetic, that it's truth? Okay, good. So let's get to our deal on faith today, right? Hebrews 11:1. Hebrews 11 is the faith chapter. If you need to know about faith, Hebrews 11 is your book. It's your college on faith. And all the people listed in there that are faith people. Hebrews 11:1. I'm going to take this scripture apart in the Greek. You know what happens when you have chubby fingers? You get in the wrong place. Okay. 11:1. There we go. Okay. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. It is the substance, the word substance, literally means foundation. A firm place. It's tangible. It looks like something, right? It's a substructure. That's what substance means in this verse. Of things hoped for, the evidence, there's going to be evidence, right? Now the word faith here, what do you think faith means? Who can give me a definition of faith? Come on, not trick questions. I can't hear you. Who's talking? Is that you? believing without seeing. That's really good. Anybody else? Oh, you guys, come on. That's good. Conviction of the truth. Conviction. Faith is conviction. That's the very first thing. Belief. The conviction that God exists. We need a new conviction in this word. We need a conviction. When you stand in faith, it's because your conviction is, I believe it in my gut. I believe it in my knowing parts. I know it is the truth. Not, well, I'm going to pray for this person who's sick and, well, I hope they get better. Been there, done that. Just say it right here. That's not faith. That's living in the blurred lines. Or maybe if I pray, they'll get healed. And we go right into the prayer on the maybe. Maybe it's not faith. And we all know from reading this word that people got healed because of faith. Either Jesus said, your faith has healed you, or we know that there was times he couldn't work many miracles because the people didn't have faith. The entire word of God rests on the scripture in Habakkuk. The righteous shall live, be alive, be healed, be made whole by his faith. We aren't going to live without faith, people, not in these days. This is just the truth. We aren't going to live without faith. It's impossible to please God without faith. We go to him kind of half-hearted for things. Today's the day of reckoning. No more half-heartedness. Look at your neighbor and say, I'm not going to be half-hearted anymore. I've been through a rough season, but I'm done with that. Right? I've had some hard things come to me, and my faith has been shaken. But I'm not going to live there. I'm laying hold of this word, and I believe I'm just foolish enough to believe every single word of it. Hallelujah? Yes. Faith is conviction of truth. And who is the truth? Jesus. It's the conviction that Jesus Christ is who he said he is and that he does what he says he's going to do. Right? Right. It is belief, really, in Jesus, who is the Word. Our entire life in Christ is bound to faith. How were we saved? We believed, and we got saved. First step of faith, right? And the entire Word of God is based in faith, because in order to receive it and live in it, we have to have faith in it. We have to have the conviction that this is true. This is life. So let's go to Romans 1:17. I drank too much coffee this morning, too, and these letters are so teeny. Okay. For therein is the righteousness of God, revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. We won't turn there, but the other two scriptures are in Hebrews 10:38 and Galatians 3:11. Guess what they say? The just shall live by his faith. How many scriptures is that? Four. What is four the number for? Door. It is. Now, I know this, that if God shows you something once, he wants you to be aware of it. When he shows you twice, he's confirming it. If you see it a third time, it's a done deal. And the fourth time, he's going to hold you accountable. Because then you have no excuse. I'm sorry, I just put you in a place of no excuse. I'm not sorry, because I want us all to move up. I want us to go higher. I want us to step. Did you know it's the year of stepping into? I want to step into higher faith. Tom and I and all our girls had coronavirus in August. And, you know, I just said to the Lord, I want to walk through this in faith. I want to increase my faith. All of us are given a measure of faith, but like anything, we have to exercise it. It's a spiritual muscle. If you want your faith to increase, faith comes by hearing and hearing of the Word of God. So I got in my book. I was, Lord, tell me about faith. Every morning I saw him take my hand and he said, let's go through this day together. I was sick for 2 weeks. It wasn't fun. The enemy's right there. Blah, 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 blah. Right? And I said, oh no. I live in the blessing. I live in the blessing. Jesus got the blessing back from you, right? And my faith was increased. And I'm thankful. Maybe some people are going, oh, there's coronavirus. You know what? If God brings something through you, he's already given you the victory through it. Now, we can go through an escape hatch. And sometimes, you know, he'll let us do that and still get the same result, but it won't be the same result. And the reason it won't be the same result is because we haven't grown in it. Everything that comes to us is to grow us up into Christ. Everything. If it comes to us, it's already been filtered through his fingers of love, and he has already given us victory. But if we begin from the blurred lines or from Babylon, guess what? That's what we're going to believe. Because Babylon exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Who knows that? Yeah. That is our current world system. In case you're wondering, what's this Babylon she's talking about? It's the current mindset we live in this nation. Our government will take care of us. Right? Oh, our schools, they're doing a good job. Oh, I'll just go to the doctor for that. Oh, that hurts. You know what? I don't disagree with the doctor. But what God doesn't like, and this is Babylon, I'm sick, I got to go to the doctor. What about, Lord, I'm sick. What do you want me to do? That's where we begin. That is where we start. That's where we put our faith on. We're trusting him to lead us, to guide us, to show us where to put our foot. We need to get rid of this Babylonian thinking. You know what Babylon means? Babel. Confusion. Confusion comes from Babylon. That's not the kingdom. We can't live there anymore, folks. And every one of us, I'm confessing, I have areas in my life that are still in Babylon, or Egypt, some would say. But I'm like, Lord, clean us up and clean us out. get our feet on the right path. Get our eyes where they need to be. Not focused on the nightly news and coronavirus and Joe Biden and the border and all of that stuff. You know what that does? It wears you out. It discourages us. And it's all lies anyway. You know, the devil can't tell a truth. And the media is the false prophet. Night after night, blah, 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 blah. If we really want to know, talk to the one who knows. Every one of us can hear him. My sheep hear my voice and they follow me. Right? Now, some of us want to be in the know, and sometimes we want to see where we are in the nation. And we do watch the news, but I'm telling you, it will discourage you. You need to put things before your eyes that are encouraging, uplifting, life. And let that life just penetrate and saturate you. Okay, where am I? That word just means lawful, righteous, righteous in one's character, a righteous man. The just shall live by their faith. The second word is live, and I'm back in Habakkuk because I'm going from the Hebrew. Let me get back. I love this handy dandy little Hebrew and all of that. It's so good. The word live. This is interesting. You know, when you're brought up in churches, you know, I was brought up Lutheran, very conservative, fire, hell, all that stuff. Got to get saved because you don't want to go there. You know. So I was brought up there. And when I first learned this scripture, the righteous shall live by their faith, my thought was, what he was saying, the righteous shall live, how they live. You know, don't cuss, don't do what bad girls do what good girls do. You know? That's what I thought. That is not what the scripture is saying. The Hebrew word here means to live. It means to have life, to sustain life, to remain alive forever, to live forever, to be quickened, be alive, be restored to life and health. Not how you live, but literally living. The righteous shall literally be alive and maintained in their life through faith. So we have viruses, you know, going on around there. Works are good when you're a Christian, but that's not how you live by faith. Being a missionary is not shall live by his faith. No. Laying yourself in the arms of God. Being convicted that this word is true. And living by that. That's what will keep your life in days like today that we live in. And in the future, because God is shaking the planet. He is shaking anything that can be shaken is being shaken. And a lot of people are afraid. They're not just afraid of viruses. They're afraid of what's going on at the border. They're afraid of our government. They're afraid. You know what? Fear is not in God's vocabulary. The Lord is my shepherd, and I'm so afraid. No. The Lord is my shepherd, and I want nothing because of that. And this word faith which I already talked about, but I want to talk about it again. This word faith actually means moral fidelity, firmness, conviction, right? Being firmness, stability, steady, and truth. So living in the truth, living steadfastly on this word. So we could say the scripture in this way, that the believers shall live by their truth. Who is? Jesus. What is your truth? Some of us, we have breakfast sandwiches at McDonald's. I'm talking about the planet, but which they do have McDonald's, I guess, all over the world now. But. So what is your truth? Only you can answer that question. Do you remember Pilate, when Jesus went before Pilate? And he said, "Are you a king?" I'm going to paraphrase, okay? "Are you a king?" And Jesus said, "You have said it rightly. But this is not my kingdom. If it were, legions of angels would come and fight for me," right? And Pontius Pilate's question was, what is truth? And the truth was standing right in front of him, and he never saw it. Never saw it. Are we living like that? Sometimes I live like that. Zach was telling me this morning that he was driving by looking for a parking place, drove right by one right up in front. There was not any parking places. And he was sharing that with Sage, and she thought, how many times do we drive by and don't even see what's right in front of us? The prophets are speaking right now. And I know a lot of people, through all of this stuff going on in our culture, are really dissing the prophets. Don't do that. Don't touch God's anointed ones. You know what? They're learning. They're speaking. It may not look like what they're saying is happening, but I will tell you, it is happening. They were not. I heard one prophet come out and apologize that he was wrong. He was not wrong. Jeremiah preached for 40 years. Isaiah prophesied about Jesus. How many years later did that happen? Right? God gave us prophets. They're a gift. And we need to value. But as the church, I often see somebody gets up, they have a word from the Lord, they give the word, and there goes the church. Drives right by. If we really believe that it's God speaking, how can we do that? It's not the individual. They're just like the telephone carrying the voice, the words. You may not like how that phone is packaged, right? You may not like the sound of the voice over the phone. You may not like how they look. That phone's from 1957. Gosh, I can't listen to that. Okay, true confession. I went to a conference once. All the speakers were over 60. And I was sure this is going to be, well, I don't know. They were at Toronto on top of it. you know, where the whole outpouring was going on. Collectively, they were like 250 years old. I have never heard such powerful, more profound words in my life. Not only that, I was never rocked so much by the Holy Ghost. The one prophet came to prophesy over Tom, I was picked up and thrown back three rows in the spirit. Rick Lyons laid out and rain all over his face. It wasn't raining in the room, but it was raining on him. Powerful. So don't look at what the package is. If it's God speaking, you want it. Trust me. And wait for it. If you don't see it manifest, begin to speak into that so it will manifest. Lay hold of it by faith. Faith. Faith is a shield. Let's go to Ephesians 6:16. I'm running way out of time here. Because we went late this morning, but that was all very, very God on. 6:16. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all of the fiery darts of the wicked. So faith is a shield. Faith is something else that was very interesting that I read here this morning that I want to give you. So the Strong's definition, a large shield as door-shaped. And here's the root. The root word means a door, the vestibule, used of any opening like a door, an entrance. In a parable or a metaphor, a door through which sheep go through. This is the shield. Faith. We're talking about faith. A door which sheep go through. The name of him who brings salvation to those who follow his guidance. Oh, wow, who's that? Jesus. An open door is used of the opportunity of doing something. And then this, the root word for shield, the door of the kingdom of heaven. Faith is the door to the kingdom of heaven. That is so powerful. If I were you, I'd write that down. I already did. It's likened to a palace and denotes the conditions which must be compiled with in order to be received into the kingdom of God. I love it. The door is faith. You know, we want to have miracles, we want to have signs, we want to have wonders, we want to have healings, we want to have jobs, we want to have everything we want to have requires something. There's a door. You have to go through it. And that door is faith. So faith is a shield. The way of faith is righteousness. That's Galatians 5:5. Faith sanctifies us, Acts 26:18. Faith partners with authority. Remember the centurion story? And Jesus said, I have seen no one in Israel who has faith as this man does. That's Matthew 8:10. Galatians 5:22. Faith works in the miraculous with evidence of the Holy Spirit. because faith is part of the fruit, right? It is impossible to please God without faith. It's impossible to enter in without faith. It's impossible to walk with God without faith. It's impossible to, you know, what happens if you're praying and you're tossed like a man to and fro, you don't really expect an answer, you're not going to get your answer. That's what the word says. Don't be double-minded. Don't live in Babylon and the kingdom. How many of you are ready to shift today? To get totally out of Babylon? We need to do it, folks. We cannot stay in Babylon any longer because the confusion is only going to get greater. As dark gets darker, light must get lighter. We have to shift into the new. God's given us new wineskins. We need to get the new wine into the wineskin and start living in it. Walk by faith and not by sight. Grab hold of faith with both hands. Get in this word every day. The enemy always has a reason why you can't. My kids, I got to go pick up my child. Oh, I set aside this time aside for God, and I've got to go do this. Don't make plans. If you had a date with somebody important, let's say that the Queen of England was coming to your house. Oh, sorry. I got to run to the grocery store real quick. Can't meet with you right now. We're talking about the King of Kings here. The King of Kings. You know what? If you're struggling in areas of your life, maybe it's because we don't have enough of this going in. Because this will break that junk off. It'll be like Sage saw this morning, a chisel, just breaking off the junk. This word is alive. It will change your day. It will change your life. Only you know where you're at with God. Nobody, really? It's between you and the Lord. I know where I'm at. It isn't always good. I wish it was. I wish I could stand up here and say, man, I'm just on it. I am not. I am a flawed piece of pottery, a jar of clay with a few cracks. Somebody may go, I don't want to drink out of that. But God likes jars of clay. Faith overcomes the world. That's in 1 John 5:4. Faith overcomes the world. Faith will overcome everything that's hindering you in your life if you put yourself to it. So Amy's going to sing that song again for us. And I just want to encourage you guys, take time with God. This morning, you have the perfect opportunity. Don't allow your flesh to run out of here screaming. I didn't want to hear that. That hurt my feelings. I hope it didn't hurt your feelings, but if it did, get over it. I don't think it did. I hope that you feel inspired, challenged, encouraged. You know what? We're here to change this planet. We can do it. 12 men turned the whole world upside down. So can we. But we've got to do it His way. And we can't keep our feet in Babylon and think we're going to make a difference. We've got to get our faith on and move out of that place of confusion and quit looking like the world. And it's a choice. I mean, we have the power to make the choice, right? So I want to say that these altars, as Zach says, are open. I want to encourage you. The reason the altars are open is it gets you away from who you're sitting next to. Wow, how ideal. That's a good idea. You can come down here and you can just meet with God yourself. So I want to encourage you, if you want to do that. If you need prayer for something, you have very capable brothers and sisters all around you who can pray for you today. So please let, you know, ask your neighbor, will you pray for me? Okay. Lord, thank you for your amazing, powerful, prophetic, beautiful, awe-inspiring word. Thank you that you gave it to us. Pray that the words that you've given me to share today will rivet our hearts. That they will begin to live in us and live through us. And that through faith, we will impact our world. We will impact our neighborhood. We will impact the school where our children go. We will impact our workplaces. We will impact the government. Thank you that it's never changed.